Good morning. It is Thursday, and that means it's time for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for tuning in on the radio. You can also catch us online at WFSU.org, where we archive these programs, usually within 24 hours of when they actually appear on the radio. And you are always welcome to be part of the conversation wherever and whatever that may lead to at 850-414-1234. If you're old-fashioned, you got a landline and you're outside the local calling area, and even though I spent so many years in telecom, I'm not even sure where that is anymore. I'll have to look into that. We have a toll-free number, 800-926-8809. Some folks prefer to communicate via email. We got you covered there, too, perspectives@wfsu.org, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. You know, as mind-bendingly hideous and horrible as the Holocaust was under the Third Reich, it would be still somehow a relief if we could say it was terrible beyond belief and we still mourn its victims, but it's over. Something similar could not possibly ever reoccur, never again. But events as recent as the right-wing rally in Charlottesville, Virginia back in 2017, or even last October's massacre at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue, show us that the hatred that ultimately found its expression in the Holocaust remains in the hearts of many people alive today. With that said, there is also something that we need to bring to the attention of folks in this area, and that is that we never forget, because we have an organization called the Holocaust Education Resource Council, which keeps in front of all of us an absolutely fascinating annual event to not only commemorate the victims of the aforementioned Holocaust, but also to keep us aware of how such things can reoccur if we do not all watch ourselves and be more understanding of each other. So we're going to talk about that today, but we also want to kind of plumb the depths of your thoughts and concerns on this issue as well. So let's meet the folks we're going to be talking with today. First, Sally Bradshaw, owner, founder, guiding light, Lord High Head Honcho of Midtown Reader. And it's so good to see you, Sally.
It's good to see you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Out from back behind those piles of books at your lovely place.
Sneaking out for a few minutes.
Also, Jim Murdaugh, president of Tallahassee Community College, and his reason for being here will be apparent in just a moment. Mr. President, good to see you.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me.
It is always wonderful to see you, sir. And kind of the ring mistress of this entire thing, Barbara Goldstein, executive director of the Holocaust Education Resource Council, who sent us all kinds of interesting and fascinating resources in advance of our discussion today. Barbara, hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, let's get first, for those people who are just joining us here, an overview of what is going on next week, because it is going to be an event-packed week for sure. You got all kinds of stuff going on here.
I have a lot of planning going on at campus. We, 6 months ago, approached this idea of creating 1 week of events for educational opportunities for the students, the faculty, and the community, and it's amazing how much has happened. The students have just engaged this in such a way that we didn't even realize. They've taken this on. A lot of the students that were starting this last semester have just asked to be part of this to continue. So starting on Monday, we're showing, this is part of a student reflection, student service learning project will be exhibited at the Union and around campus. And it's called The Holocaust and the Human Spirit, A Time to Remember, Reflect, and Respond. And there'll be all kinds of exhibits around campus. Like if you want to step into the library, you'll see amazing books presented. And the history building has exhibits around the ground floor. But that evening will be a world premiere film that the students have created called Words Matter. It's about 5 minutes long, and it's very powerful. It talks about journalism. It talks about the what students need to learn and did not know before, and what America didn't know, actually. It's very powerful. And then following that, after that 7 o'clock film, we'll be starting the film Ava. And this is actually a premiere in Tallahassee. This was first screened in Miami in October. And we'll have a panel after the film, which is really exciting. So the director of the film will be part of the panel, along with Dave Lawrence. And the reason he's going to be joining us is he traveled to Poland in June with Ava. And Ava's the 85-year-old survivor that the film was about, because she survived the medical experiments with Dr. Mengele, as her twin also survived. It's an amazing story about a remarkable woman, but the fact that Dave Lawrence was with her on this trip to Auschwitz. He's going to talk about his experience. And Rabbi Romberg will be also joining the panel, because part of Ava's life message is forgiveness, because how do you go on with something happening? And so this was a big challenge, and the whole concept of forgiveness is something he can also add to. So I'm very excited about the Monday night. And then we could talk about Tuesday will be a it's called the forensics, and I think Jim could talk about that more later, because he can help with share that. But it'll be a performance dealing with some heavy topics, which was some of them are social justice, bullying, and anti-Semitism.
And which are all interconnected, and that's these things.
Well, that's
come
the reason
the
it's being
place.
Performed yeah. that evening, yes. And that will be Tuesday night, and this is Monday and Tuesday at the Turner Auditorium. Wednesday, we'll have the scholar Peter Hayes will be joining us at 2 o'clock at TCC Library, and 6:30 downtown at the Center for Innovation on Pensacola Street. And he'll be giving a lecture and a book signing. And we'll be showing his books called Why. And Thursday, the Village Square is partnering with us to create a panel discussion, which we'll talk about later with Sally, called Love and Hate at Home, and We Must Remember. And Friday, we'll be wrapping it off with our star scholar from TCC, Dr. Monty Finkelstein, will be giving a lunch and learn lecture called titled The Others. And that's really our week.
That's a lot of stuff that's going on. Well, Dr. Jim, I have to ask you, the TCC is really the foundational, with the exception, we'll talk to you, Sally, about what you've got going over at Midtown Reader, but most of this is going to be TCC-centered, if you will. Why did you guys get involved so heavily in this whole thing?
Well, you know, Tom, we've talked over the years about my personal belief that we have both the unique opportunity and the unique obligation as an educational institution to not just produce students who have certificates and degrees to get jobs, but also to produce graduates who become citizens. And this is something I care about a lot. This is something our faculty and staff care about a lot. And we've been in this work for some period of time, and we've been proud to sponsor with HERC throughout this entire thing, because we believe this extends beyond just a conversation about the Holocaust, and actually does engage us in conversations that still need to go on about similar sorts of things that have happened and could happen in our country.
Well, how do you make this beyond these special events real to a generation that this was more than 70 years ago? It has receded into the deep, dark shadows of the past. And how do you make this real to young people today and say, this is now?
Well, our faculty have done an exceptional job, candidly, of trying to draw students in. And as Barbara alluded to a minute ago, it hasn't been hard at all to really inspire the imagination and the activities of our students. They've been drawn to this, and some of the creativity that we've seen is remarkable. Barbara referred to our forensics team. Some people think of forensics like crime scenes, but our forensics team are speech and debate. They are nationally acclaimed, quite candidly, and the creativity that they've brought to this by studying the issue and putting together the kinds of speeches that and performances that people are going to be able to see is going to be stunning, quite frankly.
Okay, and for you, Sally Bradshaw, this is something that kind of resonates with your whole philosophy of Midtown Reader, too, because, yeah, you have some really fun works that you promulgate out there, but at the same time, you seem to be really focusing in on a lot of social issues, some serious stuff, along with the fun, and you like to bring top-notch writers to town, people whom we otherwise would not get to interact with.
It is our belief at Midtown Reader that certainly you should read for pleasure, and you should, you know, have an escape from everything you're doing and all the challenges you're facing. But we've also been able to bring, I think, some really significant content and to probe some challenging issues, because we see ourselves as a community center as much as a bookstore. Several years ago, Rabbi Jack Romberg and I worked together on a fun event at the temple with Daniel Silva, who's a number one New York Times bestselling author who writes about an Israeli Mossad agent. And after that wonderful event that brought out a lot of people in the community, he said, you need to meet Barbara Goldstein. Mm-hmm. She runs HERC. And I'll be honest, I was completely unfamiliar with what HERC was. And so Barbara came over and we became fast friends, or at least I hope I'm Barbara's friend. I became a huge fan of hers immediately, and we began to host with her a quarterly book club that addressed issues not just about the Holocaust, but that are challenges we face today in terms of hate speech and how people behave towards one another and, you know, civil dialogue and problem solving. And so once we started doing that, which has been a huge hit, and a lot of people come to those book clubs, Barbara and then Liz Joyner at Village Square asked me to moderate the panel, which will be on Thursday, February 7th, with some really interesting members of the community to talk about love and hate at home. And there are two women I cannot say no to, Barbara Goldstein and Liz Joyner. And so here I am, and honored to be included in this week.
Well, you're going to be moderating that, but we also have Judge Nina Ashanafi Richardson, who is a Leon County judge, Roseanne Wood, member of the Leon County School Board, Dr. Dan Lashem, and Ryan Cohn, who will be joining that panel, too. So that's going to be going on again on Thursday, February 7th, starting at 6, and that's at the regular hang for Village Square, which is St. John's Episcopal Church. And that'll be a riveting conversation, too, and should be fast-paced, I would imagine.
I think so. And, I think there are a lot of different perspectives that make up that panel. We have someone who's an educator, well, several educators, both Roseanne Wood, who's on the school board, and Dr. Lashem, who built a career around bringing communities together to learn the lessons of Jewish history. Ron Cohen, who's with Saks Media and is an expert in social and digital media. And Judge Ashanafi Richardson, who deals with these challenges with families and youth every day in her court. So I really hope people will come out and participate in that.
Holocaust Education Week, that's what we're talking about on this week's Perspectives on WFSU. Would love to hear from you, too, 850-414-1234, if you would like to weigh in, or you can also send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. If you are just joining us on Perspectives, big week coming up, and we don't mean another committee week down at the Capitol or AP Day. We had that yesterday. We'll tell you more about that coming up on tomorrow evening's Capitol Report. But it is Holocaust Week with just a chock-a-block listing of happenings going on throughout the week to not just call attention to the historical Holocaust, but again, that part of us that somehow, and Barbara Goldstein, dare we say, you know, oops, there we go. These headphones are so pesky. The whole thing is never again. How could something so horrific have occurred in history? It seems beyond the pale, incomprehensible. We can't even think of this sort of thing. And yet we see little bits and pieces of the same mindset that led to this horrific situation erupting all over the place even today.
I just think as time goes on, we need to just remind people what can happen when we just let ourselves forget for 1 minute. And I'm out in the schools all the time. I just got off dealing with a lot of schools, middle and high schools, and what's going on with anti-Semitism, with not realizing that things could be hate speech that turn into a hate crime and that the police could show up. They just think it's other things. And it's not. It's really important because we don't treat people we need to treat people the right way. So that's part of it. And we have a whole project in our center at TCC about learning with the right words. And this is why this video that was created is actually called Words Matter. Because once we talk with these correct ways, the students get it. and they get talking about compassion and about courage and about understanding and about leadership, and then it takes them into this world of understanding that these were just ordinary people that just followed the not the right thing because nobody stood up, and that's what the students are going to get out of this.
Yeah, because this is a generalized kind of, can we call it free-floating?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be anti-Semitic. It can be anti-African-American. It can
everything.
Be anti, you know,
right.
I don't like the color of your hair, for crying out loud.
Right.
That makes you an evil, terrible person.
Right.
I'm going to demonize you.
And today, with everybody having this open speech, they're not thinking what they're saying, and that's what this is. But if we look back 70 years ago, that's where it starts.
Yeah, and on the campus, Dr. Murdaugh, how do you deal with that? Because you want a free and open exchange of ideas, and we know how the term political correctness has been batted back and forth, sometimes inaccurately, but you want the students to be involved in vibrant conversation mm-hmm. and exchanging ideas, but at the same time, keeping it at least civil and not taking it into the realm of the deeply personal?
Well, you know, we hope we are a safe place where people can talk about anything. People's beliefs can be shared in a safe environment. We can explore things that make people uncomfortable. That's what a collegiate experience is all about when you think about it. We're not here to reinforce what beliefs and values people had earlier. We're here to help them challenge their own beliefs and values. And I think the obligation and the opportunity, I love those words, that we have is to role model how you do that, not to suppress anyone's views about anything, but to show how we can explore and help people explore all aspects of these sorts of issues. So my hope is our faculty, our staff, our administration serve as role models, not to suppress conversation, but to stimulate conversation in a safe environment and show them how to have those conversations.
Yeah, and not just limiting it to the student body and the mm-hmm. faculty, but also opening this up to the whole community, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's terrific. And Sally, the whole thing about a bookstore is you go there to learn stuff that you don't already know. And that's kind of been the function, again, of your particular approach to reinstituting the kind of corner neighborhood bookstore that many of us who grew up in small towns remember. And this is where people got together and had coffee or whatever and sat around and talked about the issues of the day. And did you read this in this book? And, oh, I talked to so-and-so and they read another book. And that's kind of what you've been doing.
Thank you for saying that. We have been, Tom, really trying hard to provide a space where we can meet people where they are in terms of their belief systems and what they enjoy reading and how they learn and expose them to new content that might broaden their worldview a little. And HERC has been such an important part of that, particularly with educating, I think, young people. As a parent, talking about the Holocaust was always so challenging with my children. You never know quite how to start that conversation and what is age appropriate and how to do this in a way that's age appropriate. And Barbara has worked with us on selecting content, on selecting specific books, which we can offer to parents and to educators that are age appropriate to expose children to right and wrong. And treating people the way that you want to be treated, and respect and courage, and speaking out when something is wrong. And so that's been such an important part of what we try to do is provide a lot of different resources, a lot of different content that can help parents and educators talk about challenging topics.
And given the imperatives in the educational system, Barbara Goldstein, that has got to be kind of difficult because over the past generation, particularly with the increasing importance of standardized testing and trying to make schools more accountable and all that, you've got ever-shrinking amounts of time where you can make this connection and do that kind of education.
And just open the doors. Now, with being at TCC, this education has just opened. So many students and faculty have embraced it because it crosses every department in so many ways that it can happen in every way that we can make it into the lessons.
Yeah, it's not just history. It goes over the entire curriculum.
Correct.
With the possible exception of calculus. I'm not sure how that would work. But there still has to be a way. We were talking here before the break, though, that people who are just joining us and saying, oh, well, we hear there's a lot of things going on. We don't expect people to listen to this program with a little notepad or to make notations on their phone or whatever. Is there a central resource online
Yes.
where people can get this?
Absolutely. You can either go to TCC/HEW or for Holocaust Education Week, or the HolocaustResources.org. It's on the HERC website, and or our Facebook page, on the TCC Facebook page or the HERC website Facebook page, and all of the events are listed, and they're all free. So join us every day, and you're going to learn something different every day.
And we'll go back and repeat those because it is a full week of stuff from Monday through Friday of next week on this. But what do you want the community to take away from this, though, Barbara, besides the fact that, you know, oh, my gosh, again, it was terrible, it was horrible, it could happen again, but we're good people and it probably won't.
No, it could. That's the scary part. But actually, just to take away something more than they had before, just that this is something important that we should know, that what happens when we are supposed to do the right thing. And it's the young people that I feel so strongly about, that if we don't impact the young people, we're going to lose a lot of them in some way. And that's really what makes a difference.
Yeah, and Jim Murdaugh, you deal with that, though, as we were talking about the unrestricted flow of ideas and viewpoints and all that, but there seems to be a strong undercurrent now with the advent of particularly social media that we should be unfiltered. We should get in people's faces. The only way you're going to make your viewpoint heard is essentially hit someone over the head with a digital 2x4.
Well, unfortunately, we see too much evidence of exactly what you're talking about that's carried out by adults. Rather than try to combat that, Tom, I think our best approach is to role model an alternative way, a better way to get your ideas across, to question other people's ideas, and to question your own belief systems. We live in a social environment in which we cannot control some of the bad behaviors or the unpleasant or those kinds of things that we wish we could. So our approach is simply to take the other road, and that is let's show you the way that you can do this in a productive way, even when you disagree vehemently with someone else.
Okay. And for you, Sally, there's some modeling there, too. I remember you, oh, my gosh, we're going back years and years here, as a very dedicated partisan, if we will, okay, when you were with Governor Bush and all that. And there was you had a very cohesive mindset on how the world was. And yet you have always been open to other ideas. How do you hold, there's seemingly contradictory there. How have you been
well,
able to model that?
For a long time. But to Barbara's point, I think things have changed. I mean, we are in an evolving climate now. Dr. Murdaugh mentioned this and you mentioned it, Tom, where social media and digital content allow people to express themselves but to hide while they are doing it. So the four of us are having a conversation. I can see your face and you can see mine and you can read a lot in our exchange. But when you're hiding behind Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or you're able to express yourself without anybody actually interacting with you, you might say things that you would not typically say if you actually knew someone, if you had a cup of coffee with them, if you found out the things that you shared, the interest you shared, and that you were more alike than you were different. And so I've worked in the political process for 30 years and am proud of the candidates that I supported and thrilled to have had the opportunities I did. But in the 2016 cycle, something shifted, and it became very clear to me that we weren't behaving in a way that valued other people. We weren't treating people the way we wanted to be treated. And I just could not continue to do that. And so I got out and have been hiding in a bookstore and enjoying every minute of it. Tallahassee is a really bright community with people who really love learning. and they're opinionated, and they want to be part of the conversation, but they're also good listeners, I have found. And I think a lot of this has to do, as Dr. Murdaugh said, with role modeling, with meeting people where they are, treating people with respect. Liz Joyner told us the other day, if you're going to stop dry timber from burning, you do it with fire, with not with fire, but with water. Love, not hate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we are. And this is not just history. This is much more than history. We're seeing this play out every day in our communities, in the nation, and we can't forget. We have to let people know.
You mentioned taking each person as an individual, like the way that we're interacting right now. And Barbara Goldstein, doesn't this start, though, with saying all you people or all those people?
Well, that's what we do in our educational lessons that I want to just jump on both with. I love how you guys are good listeners, and that's when I want – that was thank you for saying that. Because why? That's why we work so well with TCC, because when we approach something, the listening happens. And it makes a difference. Then we listen to everybody else, and we learn from everybody from listening. But talking about with the numbers, because you can't learn about numbers, you have to learn about people. And from the people, you become changed. And that's really where we take it, because we can learn about the Holocaust. You can say 6 million Jews were killed, 11 million total were killed, and who are these 11, millions of people? But we really take it, break it down, and that's where we can get something from it and know that this can make a difference.
But that these are individual faces. It is not, as you said, the numbers. It's here is a story. Here is a like Eva's story.
Correct.
That we're going to be seeing here in the film premiere on Monday at Turner Auditorium, which will be at 7 o'clock, by the way, folks.
Yes.
Yeah. But that, how she suffered at the hands of, again, another individual, but an individual who kind of typified a certain way of looking at the world that we all have to be very much on guard against in our own lives.
And it's so important. What's in our mind? What are we going to tell ourselves that will make a difference when we walk out of that film? Because it's every day is going to touch somebody in some way, and then it's like a ripple effect. And that's what it's going to change the students, because students have actually reached out to us after the first week of class, and their parents said, wow, my child was changed. So
yeah.
That's something that can we can't.
Yeah, and Jim, it can't be, you know, oh, whew, thank God that's not me. You know, I couldn't do anything like that. Or it has to resonate on some level that, oh, my gosh, you know, are there any things that I have done in my life or any thoughts that I've had that could in some way, shape, form, or fashion be the little seed from which something like this could grow?
Well, again, I just give a lot of credit to our students, Tom. I think we underestimate the ability of our students and the interest of our students in the kind of social responsibility we're talking about. I am so impressed with them all the time. I think the next generation is going to be just fine, as long as we continue to provide the kinds of opportunities for dialogue like this that we're providing. I'm pretty excited about the next generation.
Yeah. Well, how many young people hang out at Midtown Reader, Sally?
A lot. We have a lot of we have people of all ages who are great readers and lifelong learners, but I've been really pleased with the participation of young readers, college students, even high school students. There's a lot of programming available to them to be engaged and involved with us. And so I am, in, like Dr. Murdaugh, encouraged by what we're seeing now. I mean, I have children that are young or college age or graduate school age, and they are opinionated, they are learners, they are outspoken, but they're also good listeners. And they'll be the first to say, we're in a weird world right now, and we're not comfortable with the way we're interacting. We need to reconnect on a human level, look for what we have in common, and treat each other with respect. And I fear we got away from that in the last couple of years. But I do think because of young people, you know, they are getting us back on track. and forcing us to focus on the things that matter.
And some actually reading physical books.
And they're reading physical books and
not
just
online. On Kindle screens.
They're rejecting Amazon, yes. So
the anti-Amazon thing.
Contingent, yes.
Well, can I add to that? I want to give Sally and Midtown Reader a plug. So I get all these emails about the new Holocaust books that are coming out before they're coming out. So now I have my new best friend here that Saturday night I got an email that there was a new book out by Deborah Lipset, and she's a well-known Holocaust scholar about anti-Semitism. I have to get the book. So I quickly Saturday night emailed her. She says, okay. And yesterday I got an email that the book is ready for me to pick up.
Thank you,
that's
Barbara.
That's my plug. Please go to get your...
That's called customer service, folks.
The ultimate customer service. So after this, I'm getting my book.
Well, again, that's old-fashioned small-town stuff. Something comes into a store, and it knows its customers well enough that someone's going to pick up the phone and say, mm-hmm. Hey, I just saw something come in that you would be interested in, or your book that you ordered last week has just arrived. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's kind of tough getting that from Amazon. I know you get the little your order has shipped, but it doesn't have the same cachet for some reason. I don't know.
I was so excited. It was great.
I do think it is nice, again, back to the concept of sitting with someone, having a civil discussion on challenging issues, and seeing that the person you're meeting with is another human being just like you. They probably have a family. They have things that they care deeply about, and you probably share a lot of interest, and it's we have gotten away from that over time, and this is an opportunity to bring us back together and help us to focus on the lessons of courage and civility and making tough decisions and doing the right thing and standing up for people. And those are universal lessons that should have applied not just at the time of the Holocaust, or should apply not just with certain groups of people, but among all of us. And so I think the more young people can be exposed to the content that Barbara and Dr. Murdaugh are putting out there, the better community we will be.
If we are just connecting with you here on WFSU, this is Perspectives. We're talking about the upcoming Holocaust Education Week here in Florida's capital city. We'll have a comprehensive rundown of the schedule of events coming up on the other side of the break. And we'd also love to hear from you. 850-414-1234 is our number, or you can pop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
We are back on Perspectives and the upcoming Holocaust Education Week. All kinds of events here in Tallahassee. A total list here. And let me pull it out here. And Barbara Goldstein, why don't we take this opportunity here to give it one more time, and then before we close out the program in about 20 minutes. So folks, as they tune in and out, they'll know what is going on, and also we can repeat the resources that we have available online so they can go and find it there too, okay? Let's start off with Monday. What's going on?
Okay, here we go. Monday is a full day at the Student Union at Tallahassee Community College. It's called the Student Service Learning Project, and the exhibit will be featured by students. That is The Holocaust and Human Spirit, A Time to Remember, Reflect, and Respond. And that'll be also followed up with a book group. There'll be book displays around the TCC Library and the Gasvini Library, which is also located near the hospital. And this has really taken on a new level to me, that when you walk into this library, you can't miss it. So everybody take a minute and go into the library and see what was set up there. And then that evening on Monday at 7 o'clock will be this feature film created by the students, and it's The message of the film is Words Matter. And it's about journalism and other parts of what the students have learned. But following the film will be a premiere here of a film called Ava, and it's about Ava Kors, and she survived Auschwitz with her twin sister under the medical experiments of Dr. Mengele. And she has a very compelling story of how she survived with her to move on in her life about forgiveness. And so there'll be a panel after the film with the director of the film will be there, and Dave Lawrence, who's a former publisher of the Miami Herald. But the reason he's here is I invited him because he traveled to Auschwitz this past June with Ava Kors. So he has an amazing experience to share. And Rabbi Romberg will be there also on the panel about forgiveness, and this will be a great discussion. So that's just Monday, actually. But Tuesday will be the forensics team will be performing a presentation about social justice and bullying and anti-Semitism. That's at the Turner Auditorium. I believe that starts at 6:30. And then on Wednesday will be a book signing by scholar and author Peter Hayes. The book is titled Why? Explaining the Holocaust. And it's at 2 o'clock at the library at TCC and 6:30 at the Center for Innovation downtown. On Thursday will be an amazing program that Sally Bradshaw is moderating, partnered with the Village Square. And it's called Love and Hate at Home, and We Must Remember. And that starts at 6 o'clock at St. John's Episcopal Church. And then Friday wraps it up with Lunch and Learn at TCC at the Workforce Development Building with Dr. Monty Finkelstein, and his presentation is titled The Others. And it's learning about everybody else and the others that were persecuted during the Holocaust. And all of these can be found at the TCC website and the HERC website.
Okay, terrific. You just hit on something, though, that seems to be the common thread, if we can circle back to that. The others. I saw on the crawl, and I won't say what network it was, but I saw last night on a news program on a cable channel that a group was going crazy. And it was an entire group of people. And this was on the crawl at the bottom of the screen. An entire political group had gone crazy. And I just thought for a second, now let's see, that probably comprises tens of millions of people. And you mean every single one of those people have had a mental lapse, have gone insane? But it struck me again, you can't mean everybody, but it personified that other. If you are not a member of that group, then you say, they're all crazy. See, I told you. And that strikes me as being kind of, again, the beginning of this otherization. I think I've just coined a word there, where you can take any group of people, whether it's folks in the Jewish faith or Rosicrucians or folks who have a different political viewpoint than you do, put them in this other basket and say they are less than us, and therefore they are deserving of our hate, our approbation, even our overt hostility. And I can feel justified because they're the enemy. They're not us. They're not even human. Is that where it starts, Jim?
Well, I think your point's an interesting point. I do want to say that Monty talks about this issue of the others, it's really about the others that were persecuted during the Holocaust that we don't think about. The mentally and physically handicapped, the homosexuals, the Jehovah's Witness, and others. And so we, the lessons learned there, I think the takeaway will be that even from that horrific event, we need to understand that it can and did include a whole lot of quote-unquote others. Your point's well taken today about how we have this tendency to characterize those things, but I'd like to certainly want to point out that that's going to be a part of that presentation. And the other thing I want to make a shameless plug right now is that when folks are thinking about coming to these events at TCC, parking is great. I'm just going to tell you. I know that when any of us make a decision to go somewhere in this town, one of the questions we always ask ourselves is the question about parking. So we are very proud of the fact that parking at Tallahassee Community College is easy and abundant. So please don't use that as a deterrent not to come.
Okay, in the center downtown there, you use the Clayman Plaza?
We do.
Underground? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, because that is very important too, because folks go, where do you park downtown? Well,
Clayman, there's a garage right there.
Yeah, right there beside Clayman Plaza.
It's the challenge of this town.
Okay, shameless plug here again for Midtown Reader, Sally Bradshaw. even beyond that, when you are putting to, you're going to be kind of the MC of this big thing that's coming up at St. John's then, which is going to be on Thursday night at 6 o'clock with Judge Nina and Rosie Wood and a whole host of others. Give us a little preview. What's that going to be like?
Well, first I was just thinking we need to move Midtown Reader's parking to TCC, apparently.
There you go.
You follow any of the parking challenges we're facing these days in Midtown? It's really going to be interesting. I think Barbara and Dr. Murdaugh are focusing on just so many aspects of the Holocaust, and it's just such a rich program with such amazing content, and everyone will walk away knowing something they didn't know before. But we're actually focusing on love and hate at home, to your point, to your the other's point. Tom, which is not only that we must remember the lessons of the Holocaust, but we are in arguably a time of change, a time of turmoil, some might say, at home. And anger and polarization doesn't just exist on one group. I mean, both sides suffer from this, regardless of your political beliefs or your religious beliefs or personal beliefs you may have about different groups of people. And we have to guard against hate growing among these groups and history repeating itself. And so I think we'll focus a lot on what these leaders we're interviewing as part of these panels are actually doing to combat hate at home. And to change hearts and minds one person at a time, which is challenging but is being done every day by these terrific folks that are part of this panel. So that's what you'll hear us talk about at the Village Square.
Well, because we had and Barbara Goldstein, our departing Rabbi Jack out of Temple Israel, he and I had an interesting conversation one day about this. Is hate hardwired?
No, nobody is born to hate. It's learned from somewhere.
Because you have that inclination, and he had brought this up too, that here our little tribe sits in the valley, and we are happy and prosperous, and suddenly on the mountain ridge above we see, again, the others, another tribe. Do they mean us ill? Do they mean us well? Better not take any chances. Let's get ready to fight, and as they come down the hill, before they get too close, we better attack them because they're going to hurt us. They're going to do terrible things to us. And that was where our discussion was. Is that where this stuff comes from?
No, because Christopher Browning wrote a book called Ordinary Men. And ordinary men were just these were just ordinary people. We're all ordinary. But what happens to us, that's what we're going to learn. That's what we're learning about. And that's what Peter Hayes is going to talk about, why this happened to ordinary people.
Yeah, because it seems, again, incomprehensible. We're sitting here and we're having this nice discussion and exchanging ideas, but we are talking about horrific things that we can't even imagine.
So I just want to add that we're still, Jim and I can also share that, how the future, what is the future going to look? Because we have been so blessed to have TCC help us with a building at on their campus. And that next year is going to be also, we're already starting to plan for 2020. 2020 is the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the camps and of the liberation and the end of the Holocaust. And this is going to be actually not just here, but I just met on Saturday with the director of the Florida Holocaust Museum. And the Holocaust museums from around the country are getting together to plan a nationwide commemoration for 2020. And we're going to be part of this.
Oh, terrific. Well, please keep us plugged in on what's going to be going on locally and here. Of course. And so, and Jim, congratulations. That's wonderful. You have another resource right there on campus. But again, to your point about the young folks there, that seems to be where you're coming from, is that the hope for the future, these young people who realize perhaps more so than some of us of a certain demographic, that we can't let these, again, worser angels, to use another phrase, take control.
No, and I don't think we need to worry about that. I really will tell you that I think the next generation is a remarkable generation. And if we take advantage of our opportunity to help show them how to have these conversations and expose them to facts and teach them how to critically question and analyze things, they will impress you. They have certainly impressed me, and I'm thrilled that we have this relationship and partnership with HERC, because as I said, I care that we will be able to feel good about the fact that students left us and became the kinds of citizens that all of us can be proud of.
And it's not just, again, as important as it is. We've had this chat right before, too, about workforce development and the right practical application of education. Right. This, you're still teaching critical thinking and some pretty high stuff out there.
Yeah, I don't want to suggest that we're not paying attention to that. We do a remarkable job in educating and training the men and women who come through there. But if all we did was give people degrees and credentials to get jobs, I think we would be missing that opportunity to fulfill this role. And that is, I think even employers want people to come to work for them who have the ability to critically analyze and think for themselves. And so I see it as part of the skills, but not something we often talk about.
Yeah, learning to learn is mm-hmm. all about it, and not just in the academic or the formal environment, but even just popping into Sally's place and saying, now that's an interesting looking book. I wonder what that's all about. And suddenly you find yourself discovering things you never knew existed.
Being exposed to things that you didn't know existed, being exposed to people like Barbara Goldstein that I did not know was in Tallahassee. And I think to Dr. Murdaugh's point, skills to work in a job or a particular environment where you're growing things or learning things or building things are important. But we also need to be putting kids out there who are decent human beings. I mean, every day it is hard to get up and do the right thing. And we don't face the pressure that the people in Germany faced during World War II. Nothing approaching that. And it's hard for us every day to say the right thing, to be kind to others, to turn the other cheeks, to show courage. I feel so lucky to be surrounded in a bookstore by young people who work in our store who every day teach me more about what the right thing is. Children who every day I learn a lesson from about how to treat other human beings. So I'm really encouraged about the future. And with organizations like HERC partnering with TCC, I think we're just that much stronger as a community to ensure that we're a community that can work together to solve these challenges.
And Barbara Goldstein, this is something that must be done because the number of Holocaust survivors is dwindling rapidly.
That's why education is just so important. Education is the key to change the world and to fight hate. And everything about this will be learned through education, because you're right, the survivors won't be here to talk for themselves. So we're going to have to talk for them.
There we go. One last opportunity here to talk about the comprehensive overview of what's going on next week and how, again, it is free. If you're a TCC, there's easy parking. And as soon as Sally, who is advocating for some parking options in Midtown, maybe gets that going.
We'll create another location at TCC so people can park.
There we go. We need shuttle service. How about light rail? We'll talk about transportation some other time. What's going on, Barbara?
Okay. Very fast. Monday's the film at TCC Turner Auditorium. Tuesday's the forensics at TCC Auditorium. Wednesday's a lecture by Peter Hayes downtown at Innovation Center at TCC. And Thursday's the Village Square at St. John's, starting at 6 p.m., moderated by Sally Bradshaw. And then Friday's a lunch and learn at TCC. And there's great parking there.
I can't wait to see that that film, the 5-minute film, Dr. Jim, that the students put together. That I have a little bird who had already given me a heads up on that one. Says it is absolutely incredible.
So. It is.
It's really good.
Yeah, we don't normally think of TCC as a hotbed of multimedia production, but it is.
It is. And you're right. You're going to be surprised, and those who have the opportunity to see it are going to be very moved and impressed.
Well, we will be, again, you can go to the HERC website, HERC, of course, standing for Holocaust Education Resource Council. TCC also has that overview of all the events that are coming up, and you can always give Sally a call, because you guys are plugged in on everything.
Oh, we try to be. We pretend to be.
Well, in the moment we have left, Sally, any other big authors coming up to your place in the not-too-distant?
We have a wonderful author named Pam Houston, who's coming February 20th. She is the director of creative writing at UC Davis, and she's written a wonderful book called Deep Creek, which is a memoir about how after her parents died, she took some of what they had left her and decided to purchase a small ranch in Colorado and work it by herself as a middle-aged woman. And it's just a fascinating read. It's absolutely terrific. Bob Shikochis, our local National Book Award winner, who's a professor at FSU, was at the Iowa Writers Workshop with Pam. He'll be introducing her February 20th, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Deep Creek.
And that is always a lot of fun, because you get to interact with some fantastic authors and ask them questions. And, of course, they're there for book signings and all that kind of thing as well. After Holocaust Education Week, Barbara Goldstein, what next is on the HERC calendar for the rest of this year?
On the HERC calendar, we continue our book club at Midtown Reader. which will be following in March, and that's on the HERC website. We have a teacher training conference scheduled at TCC on June 10th and 11th, which is going to be amazing because the topic is going to be a film also showing called From Swastikas to Jim Crow. Very short story. Let me tell you fast. So the people that had to leave Germany in the 30s, the only place they can get a job was at, some of them was at black universities. So it's not going to tell you anymore because you all have to come see it.
Yeah, do not want to do a spoiler alert on that one. That sounds fascinating. And Dr. Jim, we'll have a conversation about the preview of the upcoming legislative session in just a little bit if you have a moment.
So I do.
All right. That brings us to a conclusion on this week's Perspectives program. Thanks to, of course, Barbara Goldstein, Executive Director of the Holocaust Education Resource Council, Jim Murdaugh, President of Tallahassee Community College, and Sally Bradshaw, owner, founder, and guiding light of Midtown Reader, and in full disclosure, also a member of our council here at WFSU Public Media. And thanks for being part of our mission, Ms. Bradshaw.
Thank you for having me.
WFSU's Perspectives is produced by the station and its multimedia platforms. Technical assistance today by Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls on the Interconnects. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, our conversational topic still under development, as they say in Hollywood. And we will check back with you and interface with you again next week right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.